Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests. Oh, and I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy. And that means that no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason. And I hope that something in the next hour wakes you up, lights you up, and helps you move forward. Now, does it take a miracle to save a woman who feels that she's lost everything? Do you believe that the divine could really step in and carry someone who cannot or won't, for the moment, carry themselves? My guest on today's show is Nikki Norlock, and she's here to share her remarkable journey from despair to faith. Her book, Truth, My Synchronistic Journey, is the story of a phoenix taking flight. She's here with us today to talk about synchronicity, the people that she met on her journey. She's here to offer us a glimpse into the heart and the mind of a lost soul who's seeking the divine in everyday life. Now, are you ready to meet her? Nikki Norlock is the author of the new book, Truth, My Synchromystic Journey. It's now in its third edition, and she's happily living in her dream home. She got a dream home in the Laurentian Mountains of Quebec, Canada, with her husband and her family. Nikki is also the co-host of the popular international podcast, Everyday Connection, and she's here to share the truth about what it takes not only to choose to live, but to choose to love living. You can find out more about Nikki and her work at nikkinorlock.com. Nikki, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Do you really have a dream home? Because that's kind of awesome.
I have a new dream home. It's even more awesome.
Wow.
And here's the beautiful part about this story. So we're going to jump right into how synchromysticism works. And that's so fun. I'm so glad you brought it up. We do have a dream home, and it's in the beautiful Laurentian Mountains of Quebec. We're surrounded by nature. Couldn't ask for a better place to live. In love with the area. The people that live here are amazing. They're all artists and creators and farmers, and the food is all natural, and it's just bliss. And come Mother's Day this year, we got an email saying that the people that own the house are going to sell it. And so my stomach fell out of me and my knees kind of went, what? But in my head, I'm getting this message, go see Francine. And Francine is a neighbor of ours. She tutors our youngest daughter. We clean for her. She's a good friend. And like, it's Mother's Day, Francine. Look at my husband. And I said, the answer is at Francine's. And he says, what? And I said, the answer is at Francine's. And so he says, okay. Because he's used to it by now. And so off I go. And about 20 minutes later, we had a new home. It's a 5-minute walk away from the home that we're in now. It's bigger than the home that we're in now. It has a larger property. It has water on it. It has a pond and a river. There's going to be more room. And we can have a purchase option in a year. So. And it's less a month. How cool is that?
Oh, my God.
Now, the miracle of this is that her tenants had been there 15 years, and they had just called her 3 days before to cancel their lease.
Wow. It wasn't always like this for you, was it? You know, all through the book,
No.
People are always saying to you, hey, it doesn't work this way. And then you say, well, it works this way for me. But it wasn't always this good. And I wonder if you can take us back to where you came from, how your journey began.
Sure. Wow. It wasn't always like this for me. I grew up in Southern Ontario farming community. My mother had alcohol problems, health problems, prescription medication problems. My dad was away most of the time. I was a very confused teenager, very rebellious, alcohol, drugs, the whole bit, got into trouble with the law frequently. Then I got away, grew up, went to college, got my journalism degree, got married, did all the things that you're supposed to do, right? You go to school, you pick your career, and get married, you have kids, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
My marriage was misery in the making. We were just so out of alignment with each other that he came from a different world than I did, and the two worlds just didn't mesh well. And it just... tragedy upon tragedy continued to pile on, you know, from an early age. It was almost like we were losing a family member a year. And then I had what some would call a very, very bad year. So in the period of 12 months, I got a separation. My parents became ill. I lost my job because I went to take care of my parents. And then shortly after I lost my job, my father-in-law passed away. About 5 weeks, you hear the shaking in my voice. It still gets me.
Yeah.
This is a crazy year. 5 weeks after my father-in-law passed away, my parents both passed away a day and a half apart of natural causes. And after that, I went back to school trying to start a new life. Found out that I'd broken my back while I was moving some of my parents' furniture. And had to drop out of school, lost all my money, and the year ended with my divorce coming through.
Oh.
So I was parentless. All my money was gone, and I couldn't get any support from the government because I had inherited my parents' house, but I couldn't sell it yet, and the government wouldn't give me disability because I had a house that I should be selling, except for it had been on the market since, you know, shortly after their passing, and it wasn't selling. So, I mean, it's just a whole collection of stuff that pile on, and combine that with the health problems, and the medications. Next thing I know, I'm in another really bad relationship. I have a stalker. I'm asking the government or the police for help. They're not giving it. And out of a drug-induced fog of desperation, I do something completely stupid, turn to some friends of mine, and the house ends up burned down. I end up collecting the insurance money and taking off. My reasons at the time for doing that was because the stalker had threatened my daughter. And in the state I was in, having asked for the help I needed and not getting it, I decided that I had to take matters into my own hands. So that's what I did. So by the time I got to Toronto, which is where I escaped to from this area that I've been living in, I thought I was in the clear. But not so, says the powers that be. You're not going to spend the rest of your life on the run because it's not good for your soul. And sure enough, they caught up with me. And a miracle happened. Instead of sending me to jail, which they could have easily done. They could have totally destroyed my life. Instead of taking my child away, instead of removing me from society and telling society that I was bad, they gave me a second chance. Right from the police officer who arrested me, the detective who arrested me, to the judge, the lawyers, the parole officer, every single one of those people saw something in me that I did not see myself. And that was my turning point. I started fighting for my life. And even though I struggled still for a few years after that with health issues and with it, getting it together, I believed in myself for the first time, I think, ever, that I could be something more than I was. And shortly after that, the last death in my family occurred that kickstarted me into my new life was my grandmother passed away. And I realized at that point that I was not doing with my life what I was supposed to be doing. I was still living day to day, trying to get by, trying to figure out, you know, where my next meal was going to come from. How can you be a good mother when you can't even take care of yourself? And so I said, okay, what is it I'm not doing? And at the time, I didn't know, but I decided that somebody did know. And I've never, haven't gone to church since I was a little girl. So asking God for help was way out of my comfort zone. But at this point in my life, I thought, what have I got left to lose? I don't really, you know? I mean, so I lay awake at night and I started praying. And I said, give me help. And I did that for about a week. And then I realized I wasn't doing quite the right thing. Wasn't offering anything of what I was thinking. Just help me, help me, help me, but I'm not going to do anything for the help. So I lay at night in bed at night one night, and I said, okay, I get it. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Whatever it is I'm supposed to do, I'll do. Wherever I'm supposed to go, I'll go. I'll leave behind whatever I need to leave behind. If you'll just give me the direction I need to walk in. And sure enough, the next day I woke up and I knew exactly what I needed to do. And every day since then, I have taken it one step at a time. And I have always, since that day, had help. There have always been signs. There have always been strangers who've come out to me off the street with messages. Just incredible. What some people would call miracles happen to me almost on a regular basis now. And I maintain that it's because I asked for help.
And there's a shift. There's such a shift in that moment of asking for help, a shift from that desperation, a shift from that desperation, that keen edge that a survivor has to have. I have to keep my daughter safe. I have to keep myself safe. We have to have a place to live. We've got to have enough food. Is there enough for lunch? Okay, now is there enough for dinner? Are we having dinner today? There's a shift that your first asking for help feels so desperate, and yet then something shifted. And you changed the way you asked. Is that key? Is that something you want other people to hear who are asking for help themselves? I talk to people all the time who say, I'm talking to the divine and I'm yelling, help me, help me, help me, and I'm not hearing anything.
It's absolutely key. And I will be the first one to tell you, you want to argue with the divine till you're blue in the face, go for it. You want to scream to the heavens out of anger and rage, go for it. It's okay. You're supposed to feel angry. You're supposed to feel fear. It's part of being human. But if you're going to ask for help and you're going to expect help to be given, then you have to offer something. You have to offer a piece of yourself. You have to give that up because the divine cannot step in and help you if you are going to cling to all of your preconceived notions. And if you're going to tell the divine how it's going to help you, the divine can't do that. It knows what's best for you, whatever you want to call it, God, Yahweh, George, I don't care what you call the divine. It knows what you need. And it's only going to give you your next step, your next step, your next step. It's never going to show you the big picture. And it's not going to cater to your materialized whims because it's trying to fulfill your highest good needs. So you have to put your faith in that. And in order for you to follow that guidance, you are going to have to give stuff up. And I know that that sounds scary. Because, hey, I knew what I wanted, or I thought I knew what I wanted. You know, I wanted the house and the car and the money and the blah, 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 blah. You know, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to be respected. And I thought I knew what it would take to have those things. I didn't know anything. I really didn't. Everything that I had been taught to be a truth turned out to be a lie. And it was only after I was willing to let those ideals go and allow the divine assistance and guidance to come into my life and allow myself to learn about the world and about life and about this amazing, magical, majestic energy that is the divine. I was failing at getting the help, you know? I mean, I had to do that first.
That's terrifying, though, if if you feel like you have nothing? What can I give if I've lost it all? Or if the good things that I have, I've messed it up. I've made mistakes, or I've made idiotic choices, or I have on purpose been cruel or greedy or foolish. It's terrifying to think of giving something up when you don't have anything to give.
Oh, I get that. You know, I mean, wow. I burned down a house. Well, I didn't personally burn it down. I had a friend burn down. I burned down a house. How horrible am I? But the divine doesn't care. That's the thing. It doesn't care what you've done. It doesn't care where you've been. All it cares about is that you need its help. It actually doesn't really care where you want to be either. It cares about you right now in this moment. It's all about the now moment. It's all about you deciding right now, today, in this moment, that you, as a human being, are worthy of a good, happy, whole life. That is all that matters. Where you've been, what you've done, what you have, what you don't have, none of it's important. And that's what I mean when I say everything I thought was a truth was a lie. Because we're taught, what's your five-year plan? You're supposed to know where you're going to be in 5 years. Save your money. Be responsible. But a relationship with the divine doesn't work that way. It's all about allowing. It's all about trusting. It takes that common used, tossed around word that we hear all the time, faith, to a whole new level. It's in the knowing that every single thing that happens to you is happening to you for your highest good. If I had not burned down a house, if I had not gotten arrested, if I had not been through all that loss, the divorce, the breaking of the back, I wouldn't be here talking to you today. I wouldn't have known the things that I know now.
Hmm. Your book, this is, we're talking with Nikki Norlock, and her book is Truth, My Synchromystic Journey. In the book, you make a tremendous leap of faith. You leave behind everything that you have, all your anchors, and you take a trip. Can you share a little bit about how that came about?
I can. It came about through a bunch of signs and synchronicities that we didn't even recognize at the time. They started even before I started that prayer at night. I'd met a young Filipino musician at the restaurant that I worked at. And just through conversations and some artistic work that I did for him, little things just kind of fell into place. And shortly after waking up that morning, knowing that things were going to be different, I had this deep-seated inner knowing that I had to go to the Philippines. And I didn't know why. And I had to write a book, but I didn't know what it was going to be about. I had no idea what it was going to be about. I had even ordered a computer a couple weeks before that, not knowing why I'd ordered it. But something in me knew that this was coming. And I spent 2 weeks telling myself I was crazy and having other people, including my daughter and some of my friends who I was sure would tell me I was nuts, my own brother, having them tell me that I had to do this. And they didn't quite understand it either, but they could not deny that this is something that I had to do. And so I did it, terrified because I didn't have a passport. I didn't know since the arrest if I could ever even get out of the country. You know what I mean? Like I served my time and all that stuff and was in the clear, but I'd never tried to travel. I'd never been anywhere other than the United States on my own. I'd never traveled anywhere on my own. And here I was thinking to go to the Philippines by myself.
Wow.
I'd have to leave behind my daughter who, you know, me and her time apart, not so good. We don't do that. So that was scary. Leave behind my job, my security, use some money that had been put away for her college. I was taking some really unreasonable risks, yet I knew that I had to do this. And so I did it. And it's still, to me today, sounds insane. Except for the knowledge that I gained going there. And it's not like I went there and I met a whole bunch of really high spiritual leaders and healers, and I had these wonderful mystical experiences. That's not it at all. I went there with an open heart and an open mind, like a sponge, because I knew I was supposed to be there to learn something. And I started talking to people. And the wisdom that these people shared with me, normal, everyday, ordinary people, taxi drivers, servers, restaurant managers, doormen, cleaning women, a bunch of orphans that I found while I was there. You know what I mean? These are normal, everyday people who, through a period of 3 weeks, having conversations with them over a period of 3 weeks, changed my entire perception of how the world works, how it should work, what life is all about, and gave me a sense of purpose and direction.
And there's that big difference there. I'm still with you saying, help me, fix it now. Hey, I need help. There's a difference between that shouting and the listening, that being open to, as you may know from hearing what I do here on the radio, but I love hearing people's stories. I love to open up and listen, because that's how the truth gets in. The yelling that we do, the badgering, the clinging, the, you know, the hitting, punching our way through, the forcing doesn't work. It's in the listening. It's you being willing to connect with whoever came across your path that created this, helped create this huge shift in you.
I had nothing else to lose, you know, and I don't recommend taking that route. That's the thing. Knowing what I know now, I can honestly tell people that you can start now today. The little things in your life that you want to change, you can start now today by asking for assistance and offering that willingness to learn. And that's really all it is a willingness to learn something new, a willingness to open up your heart and your mind to the possibilities of what life could be. You know, it doesn't have to be a huge transformational journey at the beginning like I took. You don't have to get that far down the dark hole before you come back. You can.
And I'm just wondering, does it mean once I come back from that dark hole that I never go again?
No.
Yeah.
No. It just means that the next time you go, you know you're not going to be stuck there, and there's still going to be a little inkling of light that's going to pull you out, because you're going to know if something goes wrong, like us losing our house, that the answer is right there around the corner.
I love that there's that there's that sense in what you're saying of the interconnectedness. Well, I guess it goes with your radio show, Everyday Connections, but it's that interconnectedness of all things.
Absolutely.
Right, that I'm part of that web, that I'm, and when I tug on one strand, everything changes.
Absolutely. Everything's connected. Everything happens for a reason.
Wonderful. Well, okay, so you're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. I know we're coming up to our break time. This is going very, very quickly. My guest is Nikki Norlock, and her book is Truth, My Synchromystic Journey. This is the third edition of this book. When we come back from this break, I'm going to talk to Nikki about why she has changed this book. This book was published as fiction, and as you're hearing it, it's not fiction at all. We're going to talk a little bit about that shift from fiction to nonfiction. We'll talk about soulmates. I have so many things I want to ask her. We'll be right back after this.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home,
I'm home,
and and I love it, I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
And now, back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest on today's show is Nikki Norlock. We're talking about her book, Truth, My Synchromystic Journey, and you can find out more about Nikki and her work at NikkiNorlock.com. Now, let me spell that for you. It's NikkiNorlock.com, NikkiNorlock.com. And while you're typing things into your browser, please don't forget that my website is KarenHager.com. That's a great place to go if you'd like to leave me feedback on the show. If you know someone you'd like to hear interviewed on this program, that's a great place to get in touch with me. Plus, I've always got classes and all kinds of good stuff going on. That's at KarenHager.com. Now, Nikki, we were talking before we went to break about that trip that you made to the Philippines, and through taking that trip, really a leap of faith, and being open to the people who you met, open to their stories, open to the experiences, open to the way things sometimes went wrong or didn't go the way you expected, you experienced a real opening, a real change. What did you bring back from that trip energetically?
A sense of peace, I think, would be the most precious gift I was given. What's really remarkable about the Filipino people is that some of them live in abject poverty. And some of the stories of these children who have been rescued from the streets, it would make you ill to hear some of the things that these kids, very young children, have been through. One of the most common things that happens over there is children living on the streets will sniff glue so that they don't feel hungry, because glue is cheaper than food. Mm. And that's scary. Yet, for all their trials and tribulations, they have this innate sense of joy when it comes to life. They view life to be a very precious gift from God. And in order to honor that gift that they've been given, they live in a state of joy and gratitude and appreciation. And upon hearing their stories and realizing that it wasn't what I had or what had happened to me or what was going to happen to me that defined who I was, I started looking at the world through different eyes. If these children, having been through what they had been through, could find a sense of self-worth, could find a sense of forgiveness, could find joy and passion in the arts, then who was I, coming from a very privileged place, because we are very privileged here, who was I to complain about life? And so my mentality shifted from what I want, what I need, what I don't have, to what it is in my life that brings me joy, and to be grateful for that. And I started focusing on that. And when I came back to Canada and I took a really good look at my life, I realized there was a whole bunch of stuff that I was going to have to change. Because none of the things that I had been viewing as important before I left were important to me anymore. It wasn't important to have the new car or the big house or any of that. What was important was to follow my passion. And for years, I had not been doing that. And so I was miserable internally. And that was one of the first things that I latched onto. I found great joy in the Philippines in writing. When I was there, I was documenting the whole journey. And so I would have an experience, an encounter, and then I would go back to my hotel and I would write it down. Sometimes I would be having an encounter while I was writing. I didn't go anywhere in the Philippines without my pen and paper. And I realized that that was my gift. That's what I had not been doing with my life. That I had this opportunity to go and immerse myself in the lives of these people, even for a short time, learn as much as I could of the wisdom that they were willing to share, and then share that with other people. And so that's what I started doing. But for all that I had seen and all that I had done, I was still afraid of me. I was still afraid of my own gifts. I was still afraid of my own truth. So I'd seen this miracle happen. I'd witnessed several of them, in fact, but I didn't think anybody would believe it. So I wrote the book, but I published it as a fiction because I honestly believe that if I started telling people this story as truth, they would lock me up. Huh. It's true. I thought they're going to think I'm crazy. And then I spent the last few years doing that amazing radio show that we do and talking to people from around the world and sharing their experiences. And in effect, I now do for a living what I was doing in the Philippines. So, but instead of writing it all down, I get to talk about it. You know, I get to get into their story and explore their experience with them. And that's really exciting. And I realized through the process of doing that show that I'm not crazy. This is actually how it's supposed to work. And I'd been using all the things that I'd learned in my everyday life, and our life just kept improving. It's not like we were actively trying to get the bigger house. We weren't actively trying to get the better car. We stopped all of that. I stopped thinking about that, and I started living day to day, but not day to day in fear of where my next meal was going to come from. Day to day in anticipation of what new experience or encounter I was going to have. And pretty soon I discovered that life was just gifting me with these cool people and cool experiences and, you know, the house when we needed it, the jobs when we needed it, the money when we needed it, cars when we needed it. And it would come from the strangest places, not something that I would expect. But every time I needed something, it was provided. And so one day I kind of woke up and went, people need to know the truth. this is how it works. I have to stop hiding, you know? Like, I have to stand on my truth. What was I thinking publishing a book called Truth and publishing it as fiction? It was fear that was holding me back. But if I'm going to truly help people, as I certainly can't tell them how to change their lives. All I can do is tell them that they can. But if I'm going to do that, then I have to do it as honestly and as authentically as I can. And it took a lot of courage because that means I got to bear it all. I got to tell everybody everything. If people ask, I have to be willing to tell them the truth of where I was in the moment. And that can be scary because I'm kind of, you know, I'm naked for the world to see on a soul level. But at the same time, if I can change even one life, help one person, then for me, it's all worth it. Everything I've been through is worth it. If I can help one person find their joy, find their passion.
That really struck me, what you said about being naked on a soul level. In my way that I believe we are all naked on a soul level. It's the dancing around that we do trying to hide that fact from ourselves and from everyone else. That's kind of what trips us up. Because the truth is we are seen and known at the deepest possible level at all times. And the rest is just us dancing around trying to dress it up. And that, for me, that has been a huge turning point in my life when I realized that on some level everyone knows anyway. So I may as well just tell the truth.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, I mean, people ask me frequently, how can I get past the things that I've done? And I'm not ever going to tell anybody to forget the choices that they've made in the past, because you should never do that. Always remember the choices that you've made and your reasons for making them in the moment. But also remember that this moment is not that moment. This is a new moment. This is a new opportunity for you. And what you've done does not need to define the rest of your life. And I can't look at my own life and then look at somebody else's and point my finger and say, but you're a bad person. I can't do that anymore. And I used to. I used to swim in that sea of judgment. And it was a really comfortable place to be because it was safe. But doing what I do now, I can't look at anybody and fault them for their choices that they've made, because people make choices with the knowledge and understanding that they have in the moment. All they need is an opportunity to gain new knowledge and new understanding so that they can make choices that are going to be better for them and better for the people around them. I don't think people are innately bad or evil. I think that we're all born out of love. And I think it's all about how we encourage our fellow man, how we empower them. That's what changes the world. Tell a person that they are amazing and awesome long enough, and they will begin to believe it. And then they will start taking actions that will be absolutely mind-blowing. They will do things that will astound you. And the only change is in how you perceive them. Because it helps them to perceive themselves differently.
How do you define synchromystic? To me, that's the flow of the gifts and the happenings and everything opening up in a way that leads me to a higher connection with the divine. How do you define it? It's your word. You tell me what it means.
You're bang on. Synchromysticism is just a combination of synchronicity and mysticism. And so many of us now believe that mystics are the elite. You know, they're shaman and spiritual leaders. But the true definition of mystic is an individual who seeks out knowledge of and a connection with the divine. or a higher power. And synchronicity is just simply the universe's way of communicating with you. So a series of little signs and symbols will come out. A lot of people have 1111 come up for them frequently, but it's often a symbol or a number that has a deep meaning to you on a personal level. And it will come up regularly, randomly, as a signpost on the road of life, just to reassure you that you're on the right track. So when you take that need to seek out and connect with the divine, and you combine it with the gifts that the divine gives us to lead us to our next step, you're essentially living a synchromistic life. And I think everybody should live a synchromistic life. It's just so much easier.
And it's more fun because there are gifts. It's like being on a trail and not knowing where you're going, and somebody's left little markers on the trees for you to follow. When you're tuned in that way, you see the marks on the trees, right? You see the indication of the path. When you're not tuned in that way, you're just spinning around in a circle going, I'm lost, I don't know, what do I do? Because you're not seeing the marks.
And it's a perfect analogy, because we have to remember that when things go wrong, we automatically, it's fight or flight. You know, I mean, it's just kind of something that's been trained into us. So it's natural for us to tense up and panic. But it's important then to have already established that relationship, or to know that you can establish that relationship, so that instead of panicking, you can take a what I call an USA moment. Just whoosa. Take a breath, take a step back, and go, okay, what am I missing? What am I not seeing? What am I not hearing? And if you're not seeing it and not hearing, then ask again and keep asking. Keep saying, you know, I'm here, I'm listening, I'm waiting. And don't take that next step until you get the answer that you're seeking or the guidance that you're seeking. And you will get it.
Well, and again, there's that difference from dag nabbit, where's my answer? I want it now. Is it here yet? Where's my answer? Can I have it? Hurry up. I don't hear anything. There's a difference between that and asking and leaving space. Asking and looking around to see the little marks on the trees. Asking and being open to what you hear in other people's stories, in the way something meets your eye and what catches your eye as you drive down the road. There are different ways to ask. So be sure you're asking from that place of openness as well.
Absolutely, because oftentimes the signs aren't going to be what you expect them to be. They certainly weren't for me. You know, it's not like God's going to write, go this way in the clouds above your head. I'm sure it could happen. You know, I wouldn't be all that surprised. In fact, if you go to my website, you will see a photo of the Lamb of God coming out of the clouds.
That's
so
amazing.
You know, sometimes,
photo.
Sometimes, however, for the most part, it's going to be little, small, unexpected signs and symbols that are just going to pop up, and they will continue to pop up. It'll be the same thing over and over again. For me, there were key names, Gabriel, Michael, the number 3. You can't get away from the number 3. No matter what I do, it's always there. Mary, the rose. These are symbols that meant a lot to me. And when I need guidance, those are the things that I look for. But for the people listening, it will be things that mean something to you that will come, be birthed and born out of the journey that you have already taken up to this point. So, you know, it's really important for you to take that step outside yourself time and meditate on your journey thus far and get to know yourself so that you know what to expect.
When people are on the threshold of a really big choice, when we get that feeling, I should go to the Philippines, when people are in that in-between place between, yes, I'll do it, and no, my gosh, that's, you're a crazy person, don't do that. When we're in the in-between, how can we make the right choice? I'm putting right in ironic quotation marks, but how can we make the right choice?
I think it's all about understanding your fears and understanding the meaning of your fears. Are the fears that you're having intuitive fears that this situation could be a danger to you? Or are they fears that have been imposed upon you either by societal beliefs, teachings, experiences that you've had in the past? Do they truly line up with the situation that you're in? So it's time to get to know your fear. We're always talking about running away from our fear and ignoring our fear and having no fear. I love that. Don't have any fear. Don't have fear. Fear is bad for you. It's not bad for you if you know what it means. See, there are rational fears and there are irrational fears. And there are fears that help us to stay safe. That intuitive knowingness that if you go down that road, it's probably not going to turn out well. There might be a man with a machete at the end of it. You know, I mean, if you get that gut, don't go there feeling, then don't go there. But a lot of the times, the things that hold us back are superficial fears. Like, what are people going to think? You know, is my job going to be there when I get back? Well, how do you know that another better job isn't going to be there when you get back? Am I going to lose my house? Am I going to lose my car? Am I going to lose my boyfriend, my husband, my wife, my... All of these things, they're all based in a sense of lack. And we think that we need these things in order to survive, but we don't. Because to be quite honest, once you let go of holding on to them, it's... My favorite analogy is, okay, if you're walking down a road and your hands are full of the stuff that you're carrying, but you see this beautiful treasure by the side of the road and it's a shiny new toy and you want to pick it up. But if your hands are full, how can you pick it up? You see, you have to put the stuff down that you're carrying, all your baggage that you're carrying, you have to put that down so that your hands can be open to accept new gifts. And so you have to get to know your fear and understand your fear. And is it a fear that's going to benefit you and serve you? Or is it holding you back?
I love that way of looking at fear. To me, fear, what fear means is pay attention. If you don't pay attention, then you can't discern. I can't tell, is it rational or irrational? I'm just thinking, fear, no, run. But fear means pay attention, stop, look at that, honor that, and then decide, how will I move forward? What am I going to do? Now I see, as we're coming close to the end of our time here, Nikki, I see that on your website, when people go to NikkiNorlock.com, there's a page for the Shepherd of the Hills in the Philippines. That's where that photograph is that you were talking about the Lamb of God coming out of the clouds. Yes. Would you like to say a little bit about Shepherd of the Hills? I know that's an organization that's very dear to your heart.
It is. They changed my life. I you think orphanage, you think institution, you know? You think white walls and rules and got to learn your math. This is not the case at Shepherd of the Hills. This is a family-run orphanage that have opened their hearts and their arms to as many children as they are able to rescue from the streets. Second generation run now. They have massive success stories from the last 20 years of running. It's just a warm, loving, inviting environment for these children to grow up in. And all 100 and some children call the people who run it, Nathan and Ruth Mejica, mom and dad, which is astounding. And that's how they're treated. They're treated like they're children. They're given an education, certainly, but they are also given an opportunity to explore the arts, if that's where their talents lie. They do get involved with raising funds for the children's home. So they either make things to sell or they put on concerts. And when you hear the children of the Shepherd of Hills play, it's mind-boggling how talented these kids are. But their biggest gift to me is this innate sense of joy that they just exude when you're in their presence. You can't help but be happy being around them, even though some of them, like I said, have been through some truly horrific experiences. They still just swim in a sea of gratitude. And it's beautiful and inspiring and uplifting. And so I encourage people to get to their website, to check them out, to continue to support this organization so that they can continue to grow. And certainly when you buy the book, 15% of the proceeds from the sale of Truth, My Synchromystic Journey, are going back to support the Shepherd of the Hills Children's Foundation. And that organization actually inspired us so much that we actually decided we were going to make a documentary. Now, it got put on hold for a while because of financial reasons and my health went wonky. Because as you said, just because you found the light doesn't mean you're not going to go back down to the dark. But it has been recently brought back to life. And you can find the link to that as well on my website to learn more about the film.
And can you remind us about where your website is, how to get the book, what's coming next for you? Do the advertising part.
Well, if you stop by nikkinorlock.com, that's NikkiNorlock.com, you're going to find a wealth of information there. You have the opportunity to sign up for my mailing list, at which point you will be gifted with a chapter and an audio excerpt from our radio show that really just, it's crazy to talk about it. It's a stunning example of how synchromysticism works, and it's right there in your face. You can't deny it. Of course, there's links to where to buy the book. There's links to the film, to the children's home. And what's coming up for me next? I don't know. Ask George. Only George knows. I'm just out here doing these shows, doing our own radio show, Everyday Connection, and just loving life. That's it. You know, I love life now, and I want everybody else to tap into that so they can love life too.
Nikki, thank you so much for being on the show today. If you had one thing to share, one thing to leave the listeners with, what would that be?
Don't lose faith in humanity. Don't look out at our world with jaded eyes and a heart full of fear. Know that at the core of every human being lies a vast amount of potential. And believe that we are going to achieve amazing, astounding things. Look for the good in our world. Look for the helpers. Look for the people who are making the world a better place, who are doing things to bring us hope, to inspire us. Concentrate your energies, your efforts, your everything on those people. That's the change we need to see in the world.
Nikki, thank you so much for sharing your time and your message with us today. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
That was Nikki Norlock. She is the author of Truth, My Synchromystic Journey. You can find out more about Nikki and her work at nikkinorlock.com. That's NikkiNorlock.com. And of course, as always, you can leave your feedback about the show, connect with me with your questions, find out what's happening in my, I don't know, my mystical world of awesomeness at KarenHager.com. And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.